Hey, everybody. Basement Sports Podcast. Coming at you for the Major League Baseball Fantasy Draft Special.
Easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. And I haven't even started drinking yet.
Well, you need to rectify.
I do. We have a lot of special guests on with us. We wanted to open up, though. The Pirates are currently losing 5-2. I told all of you that they should have traded Kitch Miller last year. He's not an ace. He's at best a third starter on any average team. But that's neither here nor there. Duty, I'm going to let you take it from here because this is your show, bud. Hit it.
All right. Welcome, everybody. How you doing, bitches? Everybody out there, how's my bitches? We got three guests today. We got Gary, Chris, and Mark. They are, trust me, baseball nerds like myself when it comes to the fantasy world. So we're going to talk. We're going to start talking a little bit about just the Pirates team in general this year, maybe some expectations. I saw, guys, Mark, I'll start with you. I saw the over-under this year was for, Greg, did you see that? Was it 77?
77.
And last year they won more than 80 games. So I'm going to ask all three of you. Mark, you going over or under the 77 for the year for the Pirates?
Depends on when Paul Skeens gets up there. I want to go over, but if it is over just barely, I think it's a very winnable division. It's probably the weakest division in baseball right now. So anything can happen. I would say over.
All right, we got one over because I was going to hold you to an answer. Gary, what do you think, over or under 77?
I definitely will say over. I'm thinking 83 wins. They only won 76, by the way, last year.
Okay.
And can I speak about Mitch Keller to your buddy?
Yeah, absolutely. He's full of shit anyway.
Yeah, he is. So Mitch Keller is not an ace, but he's also not being paid like an ace. He's being paid 5 years, $77 million, which is like 15 something,
yeah,
which these days is not, believe it or not, an ace.
Yeah, and in all honesty, I think Mitch Keller is good number two if you're rounding out a five-man rotation. I mean, on the Dodgers, he might not be a two, but not many people have the money to spend like the Dodgers. So once Skeen gets up here, hopefully they'll be one and two, two and one.
Yeah.
It depends. I mean, Skeen throws hard, but he doesn't have a lot of movement on his fastball. Major league hitters don't seem to have a lot of problem with speed.
Well, he does have a lot of different – he has a pretty good repertoire, though. He has like four or five pitches. So. Yeah,
which will help, no doubt.
Yeah.
I still don't know this – Chris, and maybe you can tell me real quick – if you know anything about this rookie starter that the Pirates brought up, or made the squad, I should say, after you tell us if you're going over under.
Yeah, I like the Pirates to go over that projection, Wayne, primarily because of their lineup. This is the first time in years where I'm actually looking at their projected lineup now. I mean, other than maybe second base, they've got a solid bat, you know, eight out of the nine spots in that lineup. Not to mention some guys that might be on the verge of taking off. You know, just a full year out of O'Neill Cruz alone could add 3-4 wins, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I like Triolo. I think he can hit, and I think he can play defense. And as soon as I said that, he had an error at second base today, and his first guy flipped him the ball and he dropped
But where things are going to get interesting is in that starting rotation. You know, is there some promise there? You mentioned the rookie, yeah, but you know, seeing is believing, and right now, that projects to be the Achilles heel of the team. But I think they're going to hit, and like Mark mentioned earlier, I think they're in a division where they could be competitive this year. So
yeah, there's not
a little more optimistic than usual when it comes to a Buccos season.
Yeah, there's not a lot of competition in that division. I don't know who else has, you know, five-man rotation where you can say that they're that much better than anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Brewers trade away Burns. They got Peralta and really not much else.
Right.
What are the Cubs Cardinals might have one. Back? What's that?
What are the Cardinals bringing back?
Well, they have Sonny Gray, who's already injured. Kyle Bradish, who's injured. They picked up Lance Lynn, who had like an 8 ERA or something.
Well, look, if your opening day starter is Miles Michaelis, you're struggling for pitching. That's what's The Cardinals ran out there today. Red, same thing. That ballpark's almost as bad as Coors Field.
Did you
You know,
see Lance
they have
Lynn?
a
Anybody get a chance to see Lance Lynn in his baseball uniform in spring training?
I have not, no.
Dude, that guy
He
needs
makes
to
Charles Barkley look thin.
that guy needs to turn his dryer settings down, 'cause that fat bastard. I mean,
Yeah, well, he likes them tight skivvies, that's for sure.
he's not Lance Lynn. He's the guy that ate Lance Lynn.
He might be.
Yes.
Who is the guy for the Mets? Who is the Bartolo Colon?
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, except he
Yeah, big sexy, yeah.
big that guy looked on the uniform, but I'm gonna tell you what, that Lance Lynn, these new unis aren't doing him any
I
compliment.
gotta tell you what though, that video when Bartolo Colon hit his first major league homer as a Met,
In a 7 minute trot.
that's priceless video.
Priceless.
7 minutes to
Yeah.
get around the
Tops,
bases.
you realize that Tops baseball cards actually commemorated that moment with a special card for Cologne's home run, which
That's cheating.
I ordered for my son at the time. And we still have somewhere in a plastic sleeve,
Yeah,
but that's how classic that moment was.
that'll be worth $3, $4 when you retire, so keep it low.
Yeah.
Since you guys all
Easy.
did your statements there, I'm going to go over too, and I again basing it on offense. I think you got five or I don't think the whole lineup's good, like Chris had mentioned, but you got Cruz, and I think Reynolds had a bad down year last year. I think he might possibly hit 30 home runs again. I love
I hit
Trio.
one today.
Yep, I love Triola. However, Triolo, whatever the hell his name is, I like him at second base. I think he's a good hitter. And with Cruz,
Well, the difference this year is they have professional hitters at every position where, I mean, you don't have Josh Van Meter, Ji-Ming Choi, you have like real players at those positions. So, I think that's why that's good. And then, even the rotation, if they get serviceable innings from Gonzalez and Perez, then they can wait for Skeens. Skeens is going to be up probably end of April, middle of May, something like that. So
Well, that's a good point.
they only
That
need a couple of starts from the number five guys.
brings me to my next question to you guys before we get into the fantasy stuff. When's the deadline for the extra year of control? Is it labor? Is it Memorial Day? He has to
It's
stay
late
in the
May.
minors
Yeah,
for a certain amount of
it's late
time.
May, early June. I think though that I think he's going to be up. There's some kind of change in the rules, and I don't know exactly what it is, but there's some kind of change in the rules that if he comes up in April, they don't get the extra year like the Super Two thing, which is what is in June. I think that they still get the full 6 years of control, but I think now they've added some kind of thing where if they you bring them up and they get, I think top two in the rookie of the year, you get an extra first round pick or something like that. So
Yeah,
I don't think he's gonna. I think he's gonna make four or five starts down there, maybe six, and come up.
all right. Well, I guess we're gonna agree to disagree on that. I think the Pirates are so effing cheap that they're gonna wait and keep them down there as long as they possibly can. Craig?
You
Yeah,
want
but I don't. But I
to
don't. But see, I don't
make
think that makes any difference as far as caught. Like, I think we all read the article in The Athletic where one of the former front office people said that Nutting told them not to announce a trade till the next day so he could save $3,500.
$3,500,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. But I don't think that, from what I've read, and guys, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that there's anything that, if they wait any longer than after that date in early June, that it's going to make any difference with Skeens.
All right, well then, if they bring him up, then I love my over even then, because I base my over on offense, and if they can get a few more outs in that starting rotation, then I think I'm going to win that bet.
Yeah. That's why you place
I mean,
bets.
the
All right.
whole arbitration Super Two thing is very confusing.
It is.
It is, but Nutting seems to be a master of it.
He's a master of his
When
domain.
did they draft Skeens? Was it last year?
Last
Yeah, it
year,
was
yeah.
last year.
So
Yeah.
are
Number
we
one.
all assuming then that there's absolutely no doubt that they will bring him up this year?
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I mean, there
He's major league ready right now. I mean,
I would assume
the
so.
excuse they're using is to get him. When you're in college, you only pitch every Friday. Like, he only pitched every Friday. So they want to get him acclimated to a major league baseball, professional baseball rest period.
And season.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Well, the other thing too, guys, if you know, they may, you know, there may be some practical reasons as well for him not coming up right away because of that, because
Yeah,
of an
I think that's
innings
it.
amount of innings that they are going to be careful with him for. So why bring him up out, you know, from the get-go when they are hopefully going to need him later in the season as opposed to earlier? They may just be being careful with this kid. I would hope they would be.
Well, there were some pundits that were a little bit surprised. They thought he'd start in Altoona, and here he's going to start in Indianapolis. They thought they'd just have him pitch at Double A, you know, for a while and then move him up, but they're starting him right at Triple A. So
That tells you
I
something, because there have
yeah.
been not only Altoona is close to Pittsburgh, but that would have been some money making for the Double A Altoona curve.
Oh,
Plus,
I'm sure they were
he's only an
pissed.
hour away,
I'm sure they were
an hour and a
pissed.
half
Yeah,
away.
yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure Altoona wanted him there, but I was reading today that Indianapolis is in the top five of all, which is where he is now, in the top five of all Major League Baseball minor league teams in attendance.
Oh,
Oh, wow. Good.
No.
which
Well,
is
good.
interesting. I
Good.
mean, just I read an article about it. But.
All right, guys. Well, when you see the end of this podcast, we'll show you where you can listen to it, download it. I think we had over 100 downloads last
Yeah,
podcast last week.
last week. That's not Joe Rogan level, but we're getting there.
Yeah. Well, we had a sponsor. We have a sponsor
We have a
again this
sponsor.
week.
Yep.
We'll get to that in a minute. But what we're going to do is leave your questions, leave your comments about the Pirates. You're over the 76 win total. Again, with all the people that make contributions to the website or to the podcast, your name will go into a drawing for a t-shirt. It's probably a small ladies t-shirt, but you could wash your car with it. You're not going to wear it. It's not worth much. I bought it like 6 years ago. I won it 6 years ago at a hockey game, and it was medium, I believe.
Well, and I w again, we're trying to find we might be really close to being able to broadcast on location. We're going to start a YouTube channel. And one of the things we'd like to do is like even like possibly next year, bring the guys in and we could do like a live broadcast from a location,
Yeah, from the studio,
from a
wherever.
studio or whatever, and
I.e.,
get
a
it,
bar.
yeah, and get it on YouTube. So we're trying to grow things here, and we appreciate everybody's support.
And if everybody does probably know from listening to Greg and I, we do drink during every podcast, and we're hoping everybody else has a beverage as well. Today's,
We are also.
okay, well, today in the studio, which is Greg's room, we're drinking
Sazerac Rye.
Sazerac Rye.
Straight rye whiskey.
Straight rye bourbon. Yeah, well.
I believe this is made by the makers of Buffalo Trace.
It's very good.
So it's very good. Very good. So if you can find it in Pennsylvania, which is really freaking hard, just like trying to find Buffalo Trace, give it a try.
Last week we had Buffalo Trace Cream, which was very good.
Yes.
Gentlemen, experts on the line, are you also drinking?
Yes,
Yeah, we are actually drinking Sheepdog Peanut Butter Whiskey,
Oh.
which ironically, when you said Sazerac, it's bottled by Sazerac Company, Louisville,
Nice.
Kentucky.
That's a neat bottle too. This Sazerac's a neat bottle.
And we didn't plan this.
No.
To be
No.
All we care is
Just a
that we just care
happy
that you're
coincidence.
an alcoholic. More that's more for us.
You'll obviously have to try to get Sazerac as a sponsor moving forward.
Yes, no doubt. I'll write him a message.
Or
Send
they
them an email.
oh, it's either that or they're getting a shitty review on the podcast for their rye whiskey. Where are they? All right, guys, let's jump into the fantasy baseball. We all have shit to do later tonight, so we're gonna jump in. And these are going to be pretty generic questions because everybody's league's different. And what I mean by that is, for instance, the gentlemen that are on here, I'm in a league with these guys. They know baseball in and out. All three of them know every player in the freaking major leagues. Most of them know their stats from the last 10 years. Our league penalizes strikeouts for batters. We don't like walks for pitchers. And we have a it, our league's kind of different than most standard fantasy baseball leagues because you only have a minimum amount of buys that you can make throughout the year. So when we talk about a player, if you hear someone saying, I like this guy over this guy because he strikes out too much, it's going to be because we penalize strikeouts. Some of them don't. So that may vary what we're getting into first. So let's go position by position and let's start at first base. Chris, obviously first base supposed to be a power position. It's usually taking very early in the draft. What I'm going to do in the interest of time, since we all kind of like the same four or five guys, Chris, run down for me at the top, off the top of your head, if you could, maybe the top three first basemen in your minds, and then we'll go to Gary and Mark to see if they have something different, and then maybe a sleeper. So, Chris, start us out with your top three first basemen for fantasy.
I think there's too much argument here when it comes to the top three. Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson, Bryce Harper. All three guys have the track record. All three guys coming off impressive years last year, even Harper, who missed time, right? I think, you know, those are the three guys that represent the top tier at the position.
All right, guys. Well, I think we're going to get some differentiating maybe on Harper. As you know, Harper was nominated for the Eat a Dick Award here on my podcast last year because of his lovely second half of the season where he did me absolutely no favors. Gary, Freeman and Olson are probably up there. Do you agree that Harper's up there in the third? Do you like Guerrero? Do you like someone else?
I think Guerrero and Harper are pretty close together. And I think, like you were saying, it depends on your league. Really, if your league is not points like ours is, Olson might be more valuable than Freeman. And I think Guerrero is probably got the most upside, but Harper's probably safer than Guerrero.
All right. So, Mark, any disagreement with any of these players? And then I'll have an open up a question to the group after Mark answers.
I love Harper. I think that he plays hurt. And he's hurt a lot, but he's a scrapper. And their talk now, although he's got a bit of a lower back problem, that he's healthier than he's been. So I look forward to a monster year from him. Olson is also solid. But the thing about a guy like Olson is you're buying his career year. I can't imagine him having a better year than he had last year.
54.
And it did kind of come out of nowhere, you know. So you're paying for a career year, and how often does a guy match that?
As a devil's advocate there, I'm going to tell you, he did have 54 bombs and 139 RBIs last year, but he also played, and part of the reason of that is that freaking lineup that they have in Atlanta.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Every time he's up, there's two or three guys on base, it seems. So I think he can replicate that. I don't know if he can hit 54 more bombs. He's got his launch angle is one of the top in the league. He doesn't hit many ground balls, but when he gets it in the air, it's going to go. And I like Olson. You guys know I like Olson because I got him again this year. I agree that Freddie Freeman is number one by far. He was gone. Olson, I'm going to throw a name out there, and I want you to tell me what he's got to do to pass Harper for the third spot. What about Pete Alonso, guys?
Got to hit for a better average, I think. I mean, he's hit 210, 215, 220, yeah, something like that.
He had a very unlucky season in batted ball data, and it's highly unlikely that's going to repeat itself. So I fully expect Alonso to hit his usual 40-plus homers, his usual 100-plus RBIs with a batting average probably somewhere in the 240s.
You know what's weird about you say that? In 22, he hit 271.
I was just looking at that, Wayne.
40
that
home it runs,
says yeah.
131 RBIs, and he actually stole 5 stolen bases. That must have been against the Phillies.
Yeah.
And then in 23.
He's in a contract year. I mean,
that's a good point.
A lot to be said for that. And I actually read where if the Mets aren't competitive, if they feel that they're out of the race in July, trading him to somebody, maybe like the Cubs or somebody like that, only to bid for him in the free agent market to get him back next year, but then they'll have, you know, the advantage of getting somebody for him in a trade.
Yeah, the new Dave Kingman over there in Wrigley. He did only hit 217 last year too, as Gary was saying.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty drastic downswing in that. And if Chris is right about the batting average on balls in play, then, you know, that could definitely be a factor.
A couple other names that are in the top 10 in some of these leading magazines is Goldschmidt, Christian Walker from Arizona, Yandy Diaz can just flat out rake in Tampa. Other than those three, if you miss out on some of the other ones, keep your eye.
Yeah,
out.
I mean, Christian Walker is vastly underrated. He's been pretty strong for the last few years, and seems to be getting better with age. I mean, Goldschmidt's a little bit longer in the tooth now. Christian Walker has been really, really solid.
Goldschmidt's 36 right now, and mm-hmm. Walker is only 33. That's a little long, but as Gary had stated, Gary, 2 years in a row, he had 36 and 33 bombs, 94 and 103 RBIs, and his batting average is .242 and .258. So that's going to get him in the top five by far. We have, if you guys listening to the podcast find a little pause because we're doing this over a Zoom, we may have to break this up into two type meetings. It says we're going to end this session in 10 minutes. So if you hear a pause, stay with us, Greg.
Yeah, we'll just pause and then we'll get right back to it. And guys, from your end, once we hit pause, we'll go ahead and give you instructions to open up the next meeting.
Why don't we do a sleeper at each position as well, Wayne?
That was the next comment. Anybody got a guy that we haven't mentioned that might have a hell of a year? Let's go, Chris, since you brought it up.
Well, what I find interesting about my sleeper is in the league that we are all in, he didn't even, to the best of my recollection, he didn't even get picked. And that's Tristan Cassis from Boston.
Oh, he's on Wayne's team.
He got picked.
Did you take him?
Oh, heck yeah, motherfucker.
All right, then you know what I'm talking about. I wasn't sure if anybody grabbed him, but there seems to be an awful lot of buzz about this guy going into this year,
you know,
coming
best,
off a decent rookie season. And I think from everything that I've seen and read, they're projecting this guy as the real thing.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that? When I drafted him, I really wanted him. And when I drafted him at the draft party, it was crickets. There wasn't a you suck. There wasn't a good pick. There was nothing. That was just crickets.
That's the worst when there's absolutely no reaction.
People look down in the magazine right away. Someone farted and got a hot dog.
It was ridiculous. Somebody got up and got something to eat. There was just no.
Yeah, nothing.
There was no reaction whatsoever.
Anybody else? Gary, sleeper.
I think this guy isn't like new to the league, but I mean, Rhys Hoskins from now in Milwaukee is like probably under the radar in a lot of leagues. He's was perennially a very solid 30 home run guy. Somebody you could probably pick up late.
Walks a lot, strikes out a lot too, but he does.
Yeah.
The guy hit damn near 250 with 30 bombs when he was healthy. And that was in Citizens Bank Park, so we'll see in Milwaukee. I hope
Milwaukee's probably just as bad.
Yes, just as bad, and he can hit one down the slide.
Yeah.
Mark, what do you got? Anybody different?
Yes. Uh-oh. Christian and Carnation Strand.
Oh.
Part of the baby Reds, all the talent that they've all got maturing at the same time. He's pretty highly touted. The Reds intrigue me, man. They got a lot of players, almost not enough positions for this talent that they got. So I don't know how credible each one is, how steadfast they're going to be, but I've heard nothing but good things about that guy.
The Reds have all those guys. Chris always says it in the draft. He can't tell a difference between eight of their
players. Yeah, it's like a cookie cutter, major league talent thing.
Unfortunately, and some of them are dropping like flies now. And,
I had Friedel. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Moving on. Pish, leave us off, Gary, on the second baseman. Give us maybe your top three second basemen as you see it heading into the 24 season.
Now that Mookie Betts is eligible at second base, Mookie Betts is your number one for sure.
No doubt.
Then I think you have to go with Marcus Semien, who's very quietly just goes about his business. Every year in our league especially, he's in the top 10 scorers. He still gives you the home runs and the stolen bases, plays every day. I think he may have played last 2 years. He may have played every game.
Mm-hmm. We had 670 at bats, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what you really want. You really want guys that are going to play every day, not get hurt and just give you the same consistency every year. And then I'm going to go with Ozzie Albies as my third, just because I think Altuve is getting a little bit long in the tooth also. And Albies is in that lineup, and it's just, you know, it's a machine down there with Atlanta.
Absolutely it is. I'm a little surprised you went Semien ahead of Altuve, and everything you said is correct. They're about the same age. Semien's 33, Altuve's 34.
Altuve's had a bit of an injury history compared to Semien, though.
Absolutely, he did. Chris, anybody else you're thinking? What do you think about Semien over Altuve?
I don't have any qualms with it, Wayne. I like those top three myself. Altuve is just, you know, he's on a Hall of Fame track, but Semien's just the more dependable player.
Agreed. Mark?
Well, I mean, the guys we're talking about, I'd like to kind of go a little bit deeper in terms of sleepers. Now, Altuve, the only knock on him is he gets hurt. He was one of a handful of guys, and this is what I look for when I'm researching a draft, is the points that you had versus the at-bats that you had.
Yeah, I do the same.
And Altuve was one of those players that had more points than he had at-bats. So you know that when he's on the field, he's productive. So if he can stay healthy, I think he's still the best if he can stay healthy. I also think as far as being underrated, there's two guys in particular. Gleyber Torres, I think, is a lot better than he gets credit for. Maybe his numbers don't necessarily translate in terms of fantasy points, but he is a very important part of that Yankee team and how well they're going to do this year. And also, again, I'm really high on the Phillies this year. And Bryson Stott to me is a definite sleeper. He's got mid-sized power, so he's capable of hitting 20 homers, but he can steal 30 bases as well. And in today's baseball, man, that's important.
Yeah, and there's no coincidence that you picked him up for an injury today as well.
Right, and you know what? I was almost relieved because I felt like I fell asleep there at that part of the draft. I should have taken him before I took McClain anyway.
I was just going to say, if you loved him so much, why didn't you pick him?
Well, I just answered that.
So. All right, guys, before we get cut off on this first half of this draft here, I got two names and I don't understand. I want to know what you think. Mark, continue with this guy. What do you like about or don't like about Nico Horner? And then part two of the question, guys, if you want to pick it up, what the hell's going on with Jonathan India?
Wow. Nico Horner, I think the only thing that hurts him is he doesn't have a lot of power. He's not going to hit a lot of home runs. And even the stolen bases that he had last year, and I think he had a lot of them. Did he have over 40 stolen bases last year?
Yes.
43
wasn't typically in his history. So I don't know if he's going to be able to duplicate that. I know that Council, their new manager, likes to run, and he may just turn them loose. I think he's a solid player, especially defensively, but again, doesn't really translate to fantasy. If you look at him as an overall player, plays great defense, hustler, can bat leadoff for you, but it doesn't necessarily translate to fantasy points.
Totally agree. Pish, you know this guy, Gary. Jonathan India. I thought he 2 years ago was on the verge of being one of the best.
I love the guy. I mean, he's been really good until last year with the injuries. Seemed like he was always on the precipice, but just never could take that next step. And then, you know, this year, coming into this year, it looked like he was going to be the odd man out there. We're going to have to stick him in the outfield or whatever, but, you know, he does have good power. He does steal bases. He's patient at the plate. So he's got it all as far as that goes. We'll see if this year with the, if he's healthy, what he can do. I've always really liked him as a player.
Was he the rookie of the year?
I think he was.
You think he was?
He might have run rookie of the year two years ago.
Yeah. Chris, yeah. This second base thing, because there's a lot, second base used to be the worst position ever in fantasy baseball. What do you think about Nolan Gorman? And then give me your final sleeper.
So we were discussing.
We're back. We're back.
Nolan Gorman, or are we live yet?
No, we're not live yet.
Okay. All right. So the first session got cut off on our Zoom. I was asking Chris about another guy, Nolan Gorman, or if he had any other sleepers. I like this Nolan Gorman kid coming into the year. He had 27 home runs last year. He only hit .236. But stole seven bases. Chris, opinion on Nolan Gorman? No good, good. And then if you have a different sleeper.
He definitely has power, Wayne. And, you know, there's something about, you know, with last year being the rare exception, there's something about guys that thrive in St. Louis. There's a vibe there, a fan interaction there. There's just, you know, if you're deciding between a couple guys and one of them plays for the Cardinals, take the Cardinal. Just seems like guys have good seasons there, but he could be an interesting sleeper pick. Another guy I like is a rookie out of Detroit, Colt Keith. He's going to get every opportunity to play. He's a highly touted prospect. That's an up-and-coming team, and I think he could be a very interesting player this year.
I think he's in a starting lineup today.
Yeah, he's gonna play second base for them every day.
So the last thing on second, because I forgot to ask about it, this Luis Oraz for Miami, who wins a batting title every year and just gets traded. What do you guys think about him in fantasy? Mark, does he not hit enough? Does he have not enough power for fantasy? Or what,
right.
What do you got?
Not enough power, but I'll tell you what. I love the guy. He plays the way they used to play back in the day when we were kids. Hitting was important to them. Contact was important to them. His walk to K is like pretty much flat. He doesn't strike out a whole lot more than he walks. The only knock on him is the home runs, because he gets you volume and hits. And he doesn't really steal a lot of bases, unfortunately. But I love guys that hit 350. I mean, you got to love it. It's sad to say that in this day and age, the way the game is now, that's a rarity.
I totally agree. And I actually took him on my team this year, and we'll see how many points he gets.
The other thing about that, Wayne, is that when you get a guy, that's the kind of guy you take, especially if you're in a roto league, where you've got stolen bases, you got home runs, but your average is suffering because you did that. You take a guy like him to offset that.
Yeah, you know, and I've never played a roto league, but I wonder what the bid would be for a guy like that wins a batting title every year with no power. Have you guys ever played in a roto league?
I have, but I mean, the ones I've done have been just like you draft them. You don't. There's no bidding or anything like that, so I don't really know.
I got you. All right, let's move on to shortstop while we, in the interest of time, and I don't know who's up, who went first last time. I totally forget. I got the memory of a crack baby. I'm going to say it's probably Metzger. Did you do anyone yet?
I can.
Who did first base? Tell me who did first base first.
Chris did first base.
All right, then you're up, Metzger. You're up. Let's go. Right,
and I did do second.
Let's do top three shortstops and see if we have any different opinions.
Bobby Witt Jr., phenomenal talent, power, speed. The average is coming. He's cut his strikeouts, increased his walks. So he's trending in the right direction. They signed him to a long-term deal because they know how good he is. He's probably far and away my number one. Second would be Trey Turner for me. I think he's just got a lot of talent, potential MVP. Had a bad start last year, but really closed strong. I think he's easily a 30-30 guy, maybe 30-50 guy. He only stole 30 bases, but he only made 30 attempts. He's the only guy that I could think of that was 100% stolen base.
Well, and as a Philly fan, I can tell you got off to the worst first half I've ever seen any really good ball player have.
Lindor's pretty consistent, but, I mean, it's a very deep position. If Seager didn't have the injury history, he'd probably be in my top three. I'm real excited about guys like Cruz and O'Neill Cruz and De La Cruz in Cincinnati. Just extreme talent with those two guys. But yeah, it's probably one of the deeper positions.
Agreed.
I think.
And that's different in the last couple of years as well. There weren't many good choices.
That's definitely changed.
So Gary, coming down the line, he went Witt, Turner, and Lindor, I believe, maybe Seager. You got? Can you? Anybody you like better than any of them?
Those would be my three, too. I'm not a big Seager fan just because he gets injured so much. Extremely productive when he plays, but I just don't. He just doesn't really do it for me. I think the guy that's going to be interesting is, besides O'Neill Cruz, is C.J. Abrams, because he was a huge prospect coming up and stole over 40 bases last year.
Yeah.
And hit for power, which he hadn't done before. So
yeah,
it's going to be very interesting to see what he does.
18 homers, 47 stolen bases, and I also have him on my team this year, so I hope to God you're right. Chris?
I think that's it was a good pick. I remember I do like him a lot. I think it'll be interesting.
And after 6 years in the league, I finally made a pick that Gary approved of.
I don't have a lot of pushback on Whit, Turner, and Lindor. I'd probably swap Lindor with Turner as the number two.
Yeah, I would do that too.
Seager's an amazing real-life player. He's got a great glove. He's one of the top 5 to 7 hitters in baseball. But he is injury-prone, and he does not steal bases. So from a fantasy perspective, I think he has to come after those three. Seager is another guy with more points than at bats last year.
Good point. I don't know. He didn't play. Is it bat total last year? Does he play against? He doesn't platoon necessarily.
No, he was injured.
But
he was injured several times.
Yeah, he was on the DL a few times.
He's injured now.
He only had 477 at bats last year, and he did hit 327, right, which I don't think is going to ever happen again.
Yeah, he gets injured too much for me. I mean, at least at that price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would take Lindor as an everyday guy. So it was Turner and Witt. You know, Seager just doesn't do it for me.
All right. So for the local Pittsburgh fans, obviously Cruz is coming back from a broken leg. Give me your ceiling. What's your ceiling for Cruz for Pittsburgh this year? Is he a 30-30 guy, a 40-40 guy, a 20-20 guy? And batting average area. What do you think, Chris?
Wow. For a guy that has sky's the limit tools, the reality is we just haven't seen enough of this guy yet, right? Because of injuries and in fact, he's only been in the league a couple of years. For me to really, you know, take an educated guess here, I'm going to probably lean more on the conservative side and go with maybe, I think, a ceiling of 30-30.
Okay.
And if it eclipses that, I don't think anybody would be surprised. But, you know, given his age and injury history, we've got to see what a full season a couple years into the league looks like for this guy.
All right.
But the tools are undoubtable, right?
Gary, you got 30-30 or less?
I think at this point in his career, I'd say 30-30 would be the max. I mean, I think... Okay. I'm thinking he's going to be more like 25, maybe 30. And, you know, the big thing for him is going to be is can he make contact on a consistent basis? If he hits the ball, it's going miles. You know, he's got some of the highest Statcast numbers in the history of the game. And if he just makes contact, I think that's going to be the key.
Yeah, you know, the first time I ever watched him play was in Altoona. And he hit a ball that never got more than 8 feet off the ground. And I've never heard a sound like it from any MLB hitter. The noise his bat makes is different than anything else I've ever heard. Mark, what do you got? 20-20, 30-30? You go on 40-40.
I think Gary's right more along the lines of the 30-30. But more important to me is if he can hit 270 – I think the rest takes care of itself.
Absolutely.
I would love to see 270 out of this guy because there is a hole in his swing. He does strike out quite a bit. He's made strides. He's looked really good in spring training. But as we all know, spring training is not the regular season. But if he can hit 270, I think everything else takes care of itself.
All right,
he does have great arm, exit velocity on his hits. I mean, he's incredible.
So if the Pirates are going to make the postseason, he's going to have to hit how many home runs? Anybody?
25
will help?
Yeah, I think 25.
All right, now I got a couple questions here for second baseman. I don't understand what happened other than maybe age. What the hell's going on with Dansby Swanson last year? Mark, you might want to take this one because he's a Cubby.
Yeah, I mean, he really only had one breakout year in Atlanta. Now, granted, it was a good year. You know, first time with a new team, signed a big contract. He was nicked up a little bit. He did not have nearly as good a year, obviously. I expect somewhat of a bounce back from him. But again, he's one of those guys that in reality is much more important, much more significant than in fantasy. He plays great defense. In fact, I really like the Cubs defense up the middle this year. That translates to wins in real life, just not necessarily fantasy points. But he did have a down year. But it's only he only really had one really, really good year with the Braves. And fortunately for him, it was his contract year. So.
Yeah. Gary, I want to ask you about a guy that was top of the list for several years in Colorado, and he just can't seem to repeat it. What's your take on Trevor Story? Trevor Story.
Trevor Story was my boy. I had him his rookie season when he hit like home runs in six games in a row.
Yeah, didn't he hit 30 or 40 in Colorado?
I don't know what it was, but it was ridiculous, whatever it was. I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly what his age is, but I think maybe the ship has sailed on him.
31.
I mean, he went undrafted in our league. You know, we're not that deep of a league though. So, you know, I just don't think he's, you know, he missed most of last year. So I think that, you know, the potential's there, but if you're going to take him, he's a flyer at the end of the draft.
Elbow surgery. He only had 158 at bats last year, but even in that, he had three bombs. That's ridiculous.
He's definitely a flyer at the end of the draft. He's somebody that could, you know, could he do 30 home runs again? Yeah, he could. But you're going to get the strikeouts. You're going to get the low batting average. And I don't think you're going to see the stolen bases anymore.
Okay, Chris, one more I want to get your opinion on. What do you got about this young kid in New York, Volpe?
I like him. He had a solid rookie year.
21 homers, hit 280. Yeah. Hit 209 is the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's potential there. I think he's going to be an X factor in what this Yankee team does this year, especially a team that, you know, is known for injury prone players. If that kid can take it to the up, you know, one more level, it's definitely going to improve their chances to make the postseason.
And, you know, he went 20-20 with 24 stolen bases and he still only hit 209. So if that kid can hit 230.
Yeah. I mean, the skills are there, obviously. He just has to, you know, get some experience and refine his approach a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to outfield. In our league, we have to have four starting outfielders, and we have a salary cap. And I think Chris, you're up. And I know Gary took the best player in baseball this year with Ronald Acuna. I don't think there can be any disagreement. Although Chris will not pay that much money for anyone, but for pure talent and what this kid did last year, coming off an ACL the previous year. There can't be any argument about Ronald Acuna. If you have the first pick in the draft, you got to take him. Chris, starting us out in outfield, give us, other than Acuna, give us three or four guys that you think, say you picked eighth or ninth in a 10-league draft, who you're hoping falls to you.
Well, if you're talking about, are you talking about the best guys after Acuna?
Yeah.
Or?
Yep, that's it.
Well,
Acuna. Chris has never pronounced the guy's name right in 5 years, just for all the listeners.
I had the second pick in the draft, and I took Mookie Betts, who does still qualify in outfield.
As in our league. I don't know if he does in every league, but probably.
Yeah, probably. He absolutely has to be in there. I think Julio Rodriguez, you know, we're not talking about any kind of specific league format here. You know, in a points league, Julio Rodriguez is going to get dinged a little bit for his strikeout to walk ratio, but in most leagues, he is going to be one of those guys.
He's definitely top three.
He's going to be a top three to top five guy. You have to go there. I think a dude that, you know, Juan Soto is another guy. You're just not going to rank him any lower than top five at the position. And he's only 25 years old and could have an absolute ridiculous year in New York.
Yeah, with that short porch. And, you know, Julio is only 23. He's younger than Soto. And he's hit 32 home runs. He does strike
Soto,
out.
Doesn't feel like he's been in the league for a while. He's only, what, 25?
25.
And, you know, his teammate Aaron Judge, if Aaron Judge can stay healthy, Aaron Judge is going to do his thing. But the guy that doesn't seem to get the headlines like these other dudes that we, you know, that fantasy savvy players are down with is Kyle Tucker.
Absolutely.
All right. Kyle Tucker is a top five guy
For sure. And I think he was three or four in our league overall pick, was he not?
Yeah, he
Yeah, he
was
was.
third. I think he was
Third.
drafted third overall. So he's a monster as well.
And you know,
So
he's
Soto.
27.
Right. Soto, Tucker, Acuna all had more points than at bats. So we're starting to see a trend here. Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's a ton of good outfielders out there. Gary, he mentioned most of the good ones. He mentioned Betts, Rodriguez, Acuna. And I know you had this guy last year. I want to tell everybody what you got with Corbin Carroll.
Well, I got a guy that did everything. I mean, he's hit for his average, hit for power, stole bases, and he's an all-around player. Of course, everybody's going to be very afraid of him because second year slump, whatever, sophomore jinx, whatever you want to call it. But the guy was a really, really big prospect. He performed above what I expected. I mean, in our
They
league,
all do.
we in our league, in our league, which is a points league, I took him at a point where people raised their eyebrows, but it was just one of those things where I saw the potential and I felt like the upside was there. And that's what you have to do a lot of times in a draft is look for the upside. I mean, there's safe picks, there's times you have to make safe picks, and there's times you have to really go for it with potential and guys that are show promise. And that's what I did with Corbin Carroll, and it ended up paying off. Of course, there's other times that it's not going to happen, but that was one of the guys that I targeted, and it ended up being
Worked out pretty
but by the
well.
way, O'Neal Cruz just did a home run.
What's the score?
I think it's 5-5 now.
All right. Pirates might have just tied it up with O'Neal Cruz with
Possibly
Dagger.
win.
Here's the other thing,
Possibly
too. Here's the other thing, too, guys, that I think we've all noticed over the last several years is Corbin Carroll was a top three prospect in baseball.
Yep.
He called up right away, he produced right away. And we're seeing more of that than we've ever seen before in the history of this game. Guys are getting called up earlier. And not only that, but they're having a much more of an impact earlier in their careers
Definitely true.
than we've seen in a long time. So I think the idea of shying away from a young player or a rookie because they ha don't have the experience, it's trending in the opposite direction. Guys are major league ready more than they've ever been.
Yeah,
And
they're getting better a lot younger. There's no doubt about it.
I will say this about guys, and this is giving away something that I really look for, but I really look at minor league track record, walk to Ks when you're looking at somebody who's like an up and coming prospect. If there's a tremendous amount of Ks in the minor leagues, I really stay away from them.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. If they have a
Yep,
reasonable
sure.
amount of patience at the plate, they don't strike out an extraordinary amount, and they're, it doesn't really matter what their batting average is. It's really more about their consistency at the plate, their approach. And if they have that approach in the minors, I think that usually transfers to the major leagues, and that's the guys that I target.
Mark, Fernando Tatis Jr. injured in 2022, hit 257 last year with 25 dingers. Where do you think he fits? What round do you think he is as far as outfielders go?
Well, I think I got him in the fourth round, which was a steal, in my opinion.
But
You know, the consensus.
we only have eight guys in our league, right?
Right.
So
Yeah.
most so
And
10 or 12 round guys, is he still going to be there in the fourth?
no, I don't think so. In fact, I've seen draft, although these are like roto leagues where he's in the first round, or early second round. Chris had brought something to my attention a while back saying that, the one really phenomenal year that Tatis had, the very next year he was suspended for PEDs. So was he capable without the PEDs of putting up those numbers? We'll have to wait and see. But
Yeah.
I think the thing I like about him is he takes offense and defense seriously. He's an athlete, and I'll take my chances with an athlete with his pedigree. He's become, he was a shortstop. They moved him to the outfield. Now he's one of the best right fielders defensively. So, I mean, I think that says a lot.
All right, and again, let's move on a little bit about these. Now, the way we do it, we have designated hitters. It would have been your old guys that pretty much DH all the time, but if they did happen to play, he'd be eligible at the position to usually play that. And obviously, we have probably at least two with Ohtani and Yordan Alvarez who are just hitting machines. I don't know how we're going to put it, how your leagues are going to do it, but when you're talking about just flat out hitting Ohtani in that LA Dodgers lineup and Alvarez in Houston, guys, are they, if there's 10 or 12 guys in your league, are they both first rounders?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, the only concern about Alvarez is health, and he seems to get some kind of, he gets nicked up somewhere along the line. Ohtani really, you don't have to worry about him pitching this year. So to me, that moves him up even more. Like, I really think he's probably a top 5 to 7 player in any format, because he's going to steal some bases. He's going to hit, you know, 40 home runs probably. He was one of the top 15 players in our league, which is a points league, even though he missed the last month of the season. So, you know, he's tremendous. And Alvarez, if he stays healthy for 160 games or 150 games or whatever, is just going to be a phenomenal player.
All right. So don't forget those two. If they're not, if they're listed as designated hitters, make sure you check the team roles or how they're going to do those about positions, where Ohtani would be an outfielder, Alvarez probably a first baseman, I'm guessing.
No, he's an outfielder.
Does he have any eligibility at first base?
I don't think he's ever played first base. He's an outfield. He's played some outfield, but I don't think he's ever played first base at all.
All right, so remember that, guys. If you're looking for, if you get down the line in most of the you need quite a few outfielders. So these guys both qualify in most leagues. Chris, lately, and we're going to turn the page a little bit to some pitchers, but in the last, especially last year, maybe the last 2 years, it's hard to find starting pitching that goes more than 5 innings due to the dominant bullpens and the guys coming out with fresh arms and throwing 100 mile an hour every guy. I know Garrett Cole's hurt, but he's also one of the best ones every year. Spencer Strider was an ace, obviously. When you're developing your team and there's 10 guys in your league, at what point with the limited innings that these pitchers play, and Chris, I'll start with you, when do you start focusing on a starting pitcher as opposed to a position player?
Well, the point you make, Wayne, is valid in that it's a different era that we're used to. Innings pitched is, I'm trying to think about last year, how many guys exceeded 200 innings? A handful.
Yeah, not many.
Okay, a handful. And I think you get into a situation where, like, I'll give you an example. In our league, Wayne, you know that there were two pitchers, Strider and Garrett Cole, that I think were identified as early round draft picks.
Yep.
And they went as such. You know, that happened in the second round of our draft. But beyond them, I think there is all these other pitchers that kind of fall into lower tiers that you can wait on. Okay. And a lot of mock drafts that I saw kind of followed that approach. I didn't see a lot of pitchers going in the first few rounds. I wasn't seeing pitching taken until, you know, somewhere in maybe the 5th or 6th round of a lot of drafts. And there is a correlation between that and the fact that starters aren't stretched out the way they used to be, period. So there is definitely some validity in that theory that you can wait on pitching because there's not as many horses, there's not as many high-volume aces that we've had in the past.
Gary, you agree that if you wait on one of the two aces, you might as well wait longer because there's a lot more second- and third-tier guys?
Yeah, I mean, I used to be of the mind that I needed an ace. I needed to have a guy that was going to give me 200 innings, was going to, you know, strike out 200, and it's just not that way anymore. It just doesn't happen. I was just looking. There's only five guys that hit 200 innings, one of which was Miles Nicholas.
Who started
today?
So,
yeah. So, I mean, I think, and I won the league last year. My best pitcher was George Kirby, and in our league, he only had 450 points or something like that. And I think you just have to, it, the way the game has changed, you have to change your ideas that if you're, Gerrit Cole got hurt, but other than him and Strider, I think you can afford to wait because really the rest of them, there's probably 20 pitchers that are, I don't want to say interchangeable, but they're going to give you basically the same performance. And there's so much volatility with injuries in in the pitching nowadays. These guys are throwing so hard that they're getting injured much more often than like when, the Jim Palmer era is the guys that threw 300 innings just doesn't, it just doesn't exist anymore. Even 200 now is somebody that's just a unicorn.
Rarefied
It's
air.
a unicorn. It's not the same. So that's kind of what you have to look at. I think you look at your peripherals, you look at your walks to strikeouts, guys that are going to give you a good whip, going to give you a good walk to K ratio. I don't really worry about wins. I worry about what their skill set is.
What about the nay-nay? If they give you the whip, can they give you the nay-nay?
Well, here's the thing, the biggest fear you hear as a baseball fan is your pitcher has forearm tightness. Like you hear that and it's like they have forearm tightness. You're like, oh God, here comes the Tommy John. I've had forearm tightness, but it wasn't from pitching.
No, that's from masturbation.
Okay. So just all right. I thought I'd just chime in there. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, well, you just switch hands once in a while. It's
You
like
probably had to have surgery for that.
I've had my share of carpal tunnel.
Mark, other than Strider and Cole, do you think Wheeler is the next big dude, or do you confine Castillo? I don't know, maybe Gausman, Glasnow, someone else. What do you think
Corbin
is
Burns.
Corbin
Yeah, you
Burns?
could probably
Corbin Burns.
you could probably make an argument for all those guys. But see, once you get past the top two or three, nobody really separates themselves because they're only pitching five, six innings. So they're all bunched up. The complete game is gone. There are probably more guys that hit for the cycle than had complete games last year. It's become a rarity. But yeah, you have, I mean, the strikeout pitchers. Since there isn't that much separation, I agree with Gary. I go for the guys that their strikeout per nine is a big statistic for me because if all else is the same, go with the better chance to get more points via strikeouts, I think.
So I
You know,
think
and
so. We
kind
got
of
to
off topic a little bit is even relievers today, even relievers today aren't expected to throw more than one inning. And I
Right.
think that's preposterous. It's absurd. These guys, everybody's throwing 96 to 100. And if, it's maximum effort, pitch after pitch after pitch. And God forbid a guy comes in and pitches more than two innings of relief. And all of a sudden, it's a red flag.
Yeah, and Goose Gossage was a great example. That guy threw hard, and that guy pitched two or three innings every time he played. And every
Yes,
time
and it
they
should
interview
be.
that guy, they're like, he's like, big deal. He threw eight pitches. And he's got a point. I'm a Phillies fan, and one of the things that Charlie Manuel used to do back when they had Rollins and Utley and Howard, he would throw, you got an inning. And I don't care if you threw an immaculate inning, nine pitches, nine strikes, you're out. He wasn't bringing you out. And then the next guy gave up a double and two hit. You know what I mean? So I totally agree with that, and I don't get it. I don't understand why baseball's going to it. But when you're looking for a reliever, and I'm not going to go over individual closers. First of all, they change all the time.
Right.
But
Well, that's the other thing. It's not like it used to be where you had a designated closer. There's only a handful of teams that have definite closers that are not going anywhere. The rest of them kind of interchangeable.
the Pirates signed Chapman this year too. Are they gonna now? If it was you, and you saw the eighth inning, we got 10 minutes left, guys, and we'll get you out of here. It's the eighth inning, and you got three righties coming up, the meat of the order, and then in the ninth they got three lefties coming up. What do you do with Bedard and Chapman? Do you switch them based on lefty righty, or is it strictly an eighth and a ninth thing for you guys?
Are you talking about Eric Bedard or Bednar?
Bednar.
Not the Baltimore guy.
Not the Baltimore guy. It's Pittsburgh.
I think that Bednar is the closer.
Yes.
I just think that that's the way it's going to be.
Okay.
That's the way I hope it'll be.
That's the way I hope it'll be. And I think that's the way it should be. And I haven't heard anything to the contrary that Chapman's going to get opportunities when the lineup favors him. But I just think Bednar has proven that he's capable and can nail down the saves.
Yeah, and he's a little bit more savvy than Chapman.
Well, Chapman's got some baggage if you listen to some of his.
Chapman is coming off a good year, a good bounce back year, but Bednar's more of a pitcher.
I think Chapman felt his mom's boobs.
Flamethrower.
Did you hear that?
What?
He felt his mom's boobs. Did you hear that interview?
He felt his mother's
boobs.
Oh, geez. No, I did not know anything about that.
Well,
I'm just going to tell you, that was part of his interview, how he says he does that. That's just, as a joke, he feels his mom.
Let's see.
But his control is not what you want in a closer. I don't think his control is what, too many walks.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you want to do as we end this podcast about the fantasy league is these guys all know baseball, not just fantasy baseball. What are your opinion, real quick, as we end this thing? The Dodgers, what are the Dodgers doing? Like, they can't sign every free agent known to man. Is that good for baseball, bad for baseball? Mark, what's your opinion on how the Dodgers seem to be doing everything?
Well, I think if you notice, the last five players, the Boris five that were signed really late, with the exception of J.D. Martinez, they ended up signing with the West Coast team. I think it's preferential for them. I think they prefer that. And I don't know too many organizations that have deeper pockets than the Dodgers or the Yankees. So it's just a matter of them just very willing to blow past the luxury tax. It's not an issue for them. They're spending this much. Hey, let's spend this much now. So it just doesn't faze them because their pockets are so deep.
All right, that was just a curiosity to me. It seems horrible that the Dodgers seem to get every player. Guys, that doesn't always
translate to success.
It doesn't, and that didn't work last year either. So we'll see.
Didn't work for the Padres. I don't know.
All right, guys, that's going to do it.
The Phillies this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I hope. You know how I am with the Phillies. I watch every freaking game, and that's why Bryce Harper can eat a dick.
That's good this year.
That's going to be our 2024 Fantasy Baseball Podcast with our experts, Gary, Mark, and Chris. We thank you very, very much. Before we close, we'd like to have Greg. We have a sponsor. We could have a word from our sponsor.
And guys, thanks for joining us. Last time we did this, it was our highest rated podcast. I'm being honest with you. So the baseball. But we'd love to have you on again, maybe even during mid season, to do take a look at the baseball season, who's up, who's down, and if any of these players have met your expectations. But we'd like to give a shout-out to our sponsor for today's podcast, Bird on the Run Southside at 1733 East Carson Street in the south side of Pittsburgh. Great chicken sandwiches, chicken nugget strips.
Chick-fil-A on steroids.
Chick-fil-A on steroids. You pick your spice level and go down there and give it a try. You can also find them on Uber Eats, DoorDash, and Grubhub. Also on the website, birdontherun.com, you can order through a service called Chow Now. And you can order your food early and go pick it up at your convenience. Also, we're still looking for a remote area. We will have more updates on that pretty soon. But, hey, guys, thanks so much for joining us. You can listen to the podcast wherever you catch your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and iHeartRadio. It's been great today. Guys, thanks for joining us. Can't wait to do it again.
Thank you, fellas.
Thanks, guys. Great. Appreciate it. Wayne, love you, man.
Yep.
Love
see you guys. Bye-bye.
Yep.